stand to your feet and sing this with us? Jesus, What a Wonderful Child.
That's a great song. That's what we're going to be doing for our pre-worship next Sunday morning. And so I want to encourage you as we continue getting closer towards Christmas. I want to welcome everybody who's here in person tonight. Glad to have those of you on all of our social media platforms, on Facebook, on YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us. If one of those doesn't work for you, hop on one of the others. Because I know Facebook does tend to keep going with that. YouTube does sometimes. We're still having a little bit of issue there with it cutting the service, and also on the phone live streaming. So thank you for bearing with us. We're still working on the situation, trying to narrow down the problem there. So thank you for bearing with us. If you need that number for the phone live streaming, call the church office, see me after the service. I'll be glad to give that to you. If you're at home and have access to our church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab. You can download the worship bulletin for today, the children's worship bulletins for ages 3 and up and 7 and up. Those are in the windowsill to my right, as well as the prayer list. All of that's under that info tab, as well as the newsletter is under that also. And while you're there on the website, you can just go to the far right-hand side and do your online giving. You can do your regular giving. You can also do your giving for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. You can do that with these envelopes that are here in person. You can also do it with these. Just make sure you make a notation on the side there how much is for what, or if you're doing a full donation to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering in that what it is there. So just be sure to help us with that. And then also continue to be praying, even though today is the last day for our prayer guide. Continue to keep praying for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering and our international missionaries. Keep praying for them. Keep praying about giving towards that offering. And then also don't forget the angel tree. Today is the last day, so hopefully you brought your bags with you tonight. If you had those still to bring with you. If you don't, they are collecting those on the 11th that we'll actually be handing those over. So you get a little smidge of grace there to get those in tomorrow to us so that we can make sure that we have everything that we need. But that was today. And I think that's all the announcements that I had for today. Don't forget, we got prime timers coming up on Tuesday, and join us for that. You're going to have a wonderful time of celebrating Christmas. So let's just have a word of prayer, and then I'll turn it over to Brother Mike. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessing of this day. Thank you for the privilege to come before your throne of grace in prayer for our services, for those, Lord, who are in need. We pray for our missionaries and pray for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering that goes to support those international missionaries. Bless them, protect them, and bless us, Lord, that we might give to be a blessing to those missionaries. And Father, I pray that you would bless us tonight as we come to worship in song, as we come to worship through the study of your word. I just pray, God, that you will make yourself clearly known to us, your will known to us, so that we might follow you and be obedient to all that you would have us to do. So bless this service in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Mike.
Good evening, everybody. We've had a good song to start with tonight already, and I love it. I love it. So let's try another one. And if you would, stand up with us and sing 338, How Firm a Foundation. 338.
And to you.
Well, take your Bibles tonight. If you will, turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 and 12. These verses are sandwiched in the middle of the verses that we looked at last week about Abraham's life. And this is still continuing about his life, but the focus is mostly here on Sarah in these two verses. So we're going to be going back to Genesis chapter 16 all the way over to Genesis chapter 21 in just a moment. So let's stand as we read God's word in honor of his word. Hebrews 11, verse 11 and 12. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him, that is God, faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for your word tonight as we look at this message about conquering faith. I pray that our faith would be indeed that no matter what comes our way, Lord, that we will trust in you, we will find you as the object of our faith, that our faith would not be in ourselves or in other things, but only in you. Father, I pray that you will strengthen our faith. And Lord, we know sometimes our faith is strengthened the most in those times of adversity that we go through in life. And so, Father, even though we don't look forward to adversity, I pray that you would use the adversities that we may go through in this life to strengthen us to have a closer walk with you. So teach us from your word tonight. Bless your word. May it go forth and not return void. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Well, let me just begin as we get into this passage here. How long would you wait for a good friend to keep their promise? Would you wait a month? Would you wait 6 months? Would you wait a year? You know, most of us start getting nervous after just a few days. But imagine waiting not for a person, but for God Himself. And imagine not waiting 1 year, not even 10 years, but 25 years. That's what Sarah, the wife of Abraham, did. She waited 25 years for a promise that God had made. And along the way, she had moments of doubt. She had moments of impatience, moments of trying to help God out, just like we would. And yet, she is listed in Hebrews chapter 11 in God's great hall of faith. The wife of Abraham here, who was a friend of God in the Old Testament, had waited 25 years. She, in the end, faith had conquered all, even the calendar of her life. You know, probably one of the biggest surprises that we're going to ever have is getting to heaven and discovering how different our perceptions of people are from God's. We'll probably be surprised at some of the people that we will see there, and also surprised at some of the rewards that'll be given to people. Maybe the most surprising will be the absence of some people that we just are sure and thought for sure those individuals would be numbered in the saints in glory. But the point is this, we don't see people the same way that God sees them. God sees people based on their direction. We focus on their failures where God focuses on their faith. And nowhere do you see that more clearly than in the life of Sarah. Nowhere is it better illustrated than in her life. And so from our human perspective, it's hard to understand how does Sarah even make it into this great hall of faith of God's. Sarah and Abraham, as you're reading here in this passage and what we'll see back in the book of Genesis here, Sarah and Abraham, they were beyond the age of childbearing. But we're going to see that God comes to them with a promise that they are going to bear a son through whom the promises to Abraham that he's been making to him for many years is going to be fulfilled. And the reason it's difficult to see Sarah sometimes as the woman of faith on the surface is because she failed God on more than one occasion. She was impatient, and her patience was tested by God over a period of time. After God made that promise to Abraham and Sarah about the conception of a son, time passed, and guess what? Nothing happened. So Sarah, she started growing impatient, and she decided maybe God needs a hand with this. You know, that's always a recipe for trouble. If there's a key lesson for us to take away from the story of Sarah's impatience, it's that we ought to learn to wait on God to fulfill the promises that He's made. So Sarah's story is going to teach us something here vitally important, that faith is not the absence of struggle. Faith is choosing to trust God despite the struggles that you're going to face. And so sometimes the greatest act of faith is simply waiting on God when everything seems silent. Notice with Sarah, first of all, the failure of her faith. The failure of her faith. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn back to the book of Genesis. We'll refer back to Hebrews 11 in a little while. But Genesis chapter 16 and verse 1 down through verse 4. In seeing the failure of her faith, we see Sarah's impatience in verse 1 down through verse 4. So now Sarah, that's her name before God changes her name, and Abram's wife, that's Abraham before his name was changed. So Sarah and Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, "Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go in to my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. Notice here the impatience of Sarah. The promise that Abraham would have a son is in the previous chapter, in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 4. But many years had still passed, and there had been no son. Now, one of the things you're going to find about Sarah is Sarah believed God, but she struggled. After God promised that son and those 10 years passed with no pregnancy, 10 long years, Sarah begins to come up with a plan. And so we read there that she suggested to Abraham that he take her maidservant, Hagar, and try to conceive a son through her. And as verse 2 said, she said, "It may be that I shall obtain children by her." Now, when you think about that, Sarah's suggestion, that seems out of bounds to us, but in the ancient Near East, it wasn't that unusual. Now, that doesn't mean that Sarah was right in suggesting what she did, but it was a custom of the time of people around them. And so she believed God's promise that He said He was going to create a great nation through Abraham's seed, and she wanted desperately to be a mother. Notice that she says children instead of child in verse 2. So she's expecting multiple children because of the promise. So there's some expectation there of the promise that maybe this promise is to be fulfilled through Hagar. And as we said, in her culture, a barren womb, even the lack of a son, was a disgrace. And it meant the end of a family line. And no matter how honorable it may have seemed on her part, it was still wrong. The idea was wrong, not waiting on God. And the method was wrong, encouraging her husband to sleep with her handmaid. And so from God's perspective, it was wrong that Sarah was not willing to trust His word, nor was she willing to wait on God's timing. Sometimes that's really for us where the rubber meets the road. We believe what God says, but we just don't want to wait that long. We don't want to keep waiting on His timing. Now, think about things from Abraham's perspective. From Abraham's perspective, it was wrong for her to encourage impatience and discontent in him, to say, Abraham, you need to go on and sleep with my handmaid because maybe that's the way things are going to happen and this promise is going to be fulfilled. And so he's getting pressure from his wife to do this. From Hagar's perspective, it was wrong for Sarah to have encouraged her to be sexually involved with another man. And from Sarah's own perspective, she robbed herself of the privilege and the honor of being a faithful, patient woman of God. Now think about it. While Sarah was well-meaning in what she did was still wrong. You know, we do and we have many times done things well-meaning, but they were wrong for us to do. And so all because of her impatience overcame her faith. Now, Sarah was about 65 years old, and Abraham was about 75 years old when God first told them that he was going to make of them a great nation. We've already discussed 10 years has passed without a son being born. How old does that make Abraham and Sarah now? About 75 and 85. And at that point, Abraham agrees to Sarah's suggestion and goes in and lays with Hagar and fathers a child through her. Now, nothing more is recorded about Abraham and Sarah for 13 whole years, making it 23 years since the promise was first given. Now, understand this. Trying to help God out never speeds things up. Never. In fact, it usually slows things down because we make more of a mess that God then has to undo. There's always a price for us to be paid for running ahead of God. Waiting on God is a hard lesson to learn because His timetable is not ours, but His timetable always turns out to be perfect. When we step outside of God's will, you begin to inherit problems that He never intended for you. Next to her impatience, notice the second thing about Sarah that we see, her insubordination. Genesis chapter 16 and verse 5. And Sarah said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you." Wait a second. You just told him to do this. In fact, you insisted for him to do this. And now you're telling him, let this wrong be on you. Not on me. I didn't do anything wrong. May the wrong be done to me. May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to you, to your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me. Wow. Who would have guessed? Something predictable happens. Hagar conceives, and she becomes bitter towards Sarah. So Sarah has this pregnant servant to deal with, who despised her as well. And Sarah blames Abraham for it all. Think about it. If he had refused to go along with the plan, Hagar would not have gotten pregnant and wouldn't be angry at Sarah. But Sarah is reaping what she sowed. That's one of the truths of the scripture that we learn from the New Testament. You reap what you sow. Sarah's insubordination against her husband made very little sense. Then notice her intolerance in verse 6. But Abram said to Sarah, "Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please." Then Sarah dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. Understand this, when faith gets out of order, it always seems to breed more problems. Now there's not just a pregnant servant here who's going to have a baby. She's at odds with Sarah. Sarah's at odds with her. And now Abraham says, she's nothing to me. She's your servant. You can do whatever you want to with her. And so she says, okay. And it says that she was harsh with her, so harsh that she caused Hagar to flee. Once faith gets out of order, it always seems to breed more problems. In verse 6, Sarah turns her anger towards Abraham onto Hagar, and she begins to mistreat her, and apparently in no small way. This is extreme because she flees from Sarah, and she runs into the desert to hide. That's how bad it was that Sarah was treating Hagar. But notice Sarah's infidelity. I want you to turn over a couple of chapters to chapter 18 and verse 10 down through verse 15. In chapter 18, verse 10, it says, "The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year." He's talking to Abraham here. "And Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Now, Sarah's listening at the tent door behind him. And verse 11 says, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh." You fast forward there from the incident of Hagar to the point at which Abraham is about 99 years old at these verses. Sarah is about 89 years of age. There'd still been no child that had been born from their union together. The Lord reaffirms to Abraham that he and Sarah, you're going to have a son. Not the first time he's told him this. He even implied it's going to be in next year's time. There wasn't any mistaking that the child is going to be born of Sarah. God had repeated the promise of a son to Abraham at the same time that he changes Sarai's name to Sarah. Now, Sarah means princess and is another indication that God is going to bring forth many descendants through her. But Abraham's response was to laugh at the idea, just like Sarah. Both of them laughed at the idea in their old age. Could God give them a child from Sarah? And so what we see here is faith versus unbelief. We see the natural versus the supernatural. We see reality versus possibility. With their hearts was a battleground, if you will, of belief. Humanly speaking, from their perspective and what they had seen and what they knew, this was impossible. But when God makes a promise, He is not limited by human possibility. We've done the same thing ourselves. We've all had difficulty believing God for certain things that we believe He has promised. And the link between God's power and man's poverty is God's promise. Let me say that again. The link between God's power and man's poverty is God's promise. Sarah and Abraham ultimately considered God faithful who had promised. How do we know that? That's what it told us back in Hebrews 11:11. They considered God faithful. He had promised. They went through their moments of doubt, but they finally believed. Now, we probably wouldn't rank Sarah's faith very high. And yet here she is in God's hall of faith. If that doesn't give hope to any of us who have doubted God in the past, I don't know what does. Because God does not look for perfect people. He looks for people who are willing to trust Him again after they have fallen. Even when we're unfaithful, God remains faithful. But the second thing I want you to see about Sarah is the fulfillment of her faith. Yes, she fails. There's not a one of us who hasn't. But we see the fulfillment of her faith. So what happened? How was Sarah's faith ultimately fulfilled? Well, turn over a few more chapters to Genesis chapter 21, and you'll see the fulfillment of God's promise to her and Abraham. There you begin to find the details of what we read about back in Hebrews 11, verse 11 and 12. Let me read those verses to you again. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, because how old was he? Good as dead. Were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. And so there's we find the details of what's recorded. Sarah is miraculously given the strength to conceive and bear a child. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. And as a result, from the one man Abraham comes this whole race of people as numerous as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the seashore. That's what verse 1 down to verse 7 tells us. So let's just read those verses, if you will. I think I have those on the screen. The Lord visited Sarah, as he said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Wow. Sarah bore a son whose name was Isaac when Abraham was 100 years old. Now, Isaac's name means he laughs. And so Sarah, every time she would call his name, Isaac, every time somebody else said, hey, Isaac, what you doing? She would remember, what's that mean? He laughs. She would always remember that God had brought her laughter and joy in her old age, to which her son was now a living testimony. She laughed twice. Did you catch that? She laughed twice. The first time she laughed, the laughter of unbelief. The second time she laughed here, she laughed the laugh of joy over the fulfilled promise of the Almighty God. Now, there's several principles to draw from Sarah's experience with God. Sarah's faith conquered impossibility. Her faith conquered impossibility. Remember, she's past the age of giving birth. And Abraham, what a description, is as good as dead. He's 100 years old. And so Sarah, she had hope that there was, when there was even no reason to have hope. And in spite of the lack of human hope, she still believes God. She just thought, maybe I need to help him out. She weighed the human impossibility of becoming a mother against the divine impossibility of God breaking his promise. And she came up with this thought: I am more likely to have a baby in my old age than God is to go back on his word. When you get that kind of perspective about situations in your life, it changes everything. Her thought that she has is, I'm more likely to have a baby in my old age than God is to go back on his word. Charles Wesley wrote a verse that says, faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to that alone. Laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. You have to admire Sarah and Abraham, because in spite of the fact that they struggled with what God said was going to happen to them, they continued to believe. In their old age, God fulfilled His word to them. The second thing you see is not only that her faith conquered impossibility, Sarah's faith conquered improbability. If you look at what Paul writes to us in Romans chapter 4 and verse 18 down to verse 20, Paul said this, "In hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations as he had been told." This is talking about Abraham. "So shall your offspring be." That was the word God had said. He, talking about Abraham, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. No unbelief made him waver. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. And they both did. Abraham and Sarah believed God for 25 years without any specific evidence that the promise of God was going to be filled. That's a long time to wait. Some of us might be able to give the testimony of waiting that long for a prayer to be answered, but even that's different from waiting for a specific verbal promise of God to be fulfilled. But they didn't become weak in faith. They took a detour, if you will, in the situation with Hagar. They recovered their faith and repented and continued to believe God. And for 25 years, they waited. And they wondered. And they wondered. And they waited. And they stumbled. But they didn't quit. And God honored their endurance. Just like God gave Sarah that strength to conceive, He gave her the strength to believe. You know, we often hear positive thinkers, speakers today that tell us that what we believe, we can achieve. Well, Sarah was way ahead of them, and she had it right. What she believed, she finally conceived by the power of God, not by herself, not in and of herself. It was God who did it. So then notice Sarah's faith conquered inadequacy. Her faith conquered inadequacy. It's powerfully evident that Abraham and Sarah conceived by the power of God. How do we know that? Think about it for a moment. How many of you have ever known any 90, 100-year-olds that have had a baby? I don't know of anybody. That's just something that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen today. It didn't happen back then either. You know, when we stop and we consider what Abraham and Sarah went through, you begin to really develop an admiration for them. What must it have been like during those years when Abraham wasn't a father? He had a promise, maybe even told some people about that promise, but Abraham wasn't a father yet. He had been blessed by God with much wealth. His flocks and his herds were large. He had a lot of silver. He had a lot of gold. He was living in the land of Canaan. He was at the crossroads, if you will, of the trade routes that connected Egypt in the south and Africa with Asia. Caravans would have stopped often at his wells on their journeys through Canaan. Guests at his tent would have assumed, surely this guy's got a large family, because Abraham's name means father of multitudes. How inadequate he and Sarah must have felt to confess to visitors, "We don't got any children." For 25 years, they had to tell people that. And even if they didn't tell people, people saw it. People knew. He was the scorn, the object of scorn and laughter, in spite of his status, in spite of his wealth. You could just think of the shame and the questions and the whispers and imagine how inadequate he felt. And yet he and Sarah clung to God's word. Their inadequacy didn't stop God. It only magnified his power. All he had to show for his fatherhood of multitudes was an unfulfilled promise for 25 years. And yet he and Sarah kept on believing. Faith conquered Abraham and Sarah's inadequacies the same way faith can conquer ours. How do we conquer ours? By clinging to the promises of God, who never fails to keep his word. Always keeps his word. It's kind of like the song we sing, standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. They were standing on the promises of God. And notice that Sarah's faith also conquered inconsistency. If there's one thing that we all are, is inconsistent. If there's one thing God is, it's consistent. That translates to faithlessness on our part and faithfulness on his part. And so Sarah judged him faithful. After that disaster with Hagar, Sarah knew about inconsistency and faithlessness, but she also learned about God's faithfulness. So in spite of her weaknesses, God didn't come in and take away the promises. How quick we are to think that way. We tell our children we're going to do something, and then they misbehave and we take away the promise. We keep doing that enough times, and our children learn not to trust the word of somebody who breaks their promises. Fortunately, Sarah didn't have that experience, because when she realized that God was going to keep his promise, in spite of her impatience and her lack of faith, she believed all the more. Now, obviously, her and Abraham were inconsistent, and we are too, but God never is. And he never withdrew the promise. He never got to the point where he told them, well, you guys just don't care anymore. You don't believe, so I'm going to take that away. He didn't punish her by removing his blessing. Instead, what he does is shows himself faithful in spite of her failures. You know what that is? That's grace. That's grace. Then notice our fifth thing, that Sarah's faith conquered infidelity. It conquered infidelity. Paul says this about Abraham over in the book of Romans in chapter 4 and verse 21. He says that Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And Hebrews 11:11 tells us that Sarah considered him faithful. So in the responses of these two time-tested saints, we see the meaning of the word faith. Faith is not some warm, fuzzy feeling. Faith is a commitment. It's a decision that we make not to change spiritual partners when times get bad. Just like faithful spouses don't switch marriage partners every time they face a challenge, or shouldn't anyway, so faithful believers ought to remain committed to God. So if you find yourself identifying with Sarah's spiritual unfaithfulness, know this, there's hope. Don't despair. God wants you to choose today to identify with her faith and her faithfulness. Because by faith, you can conquer anything. We need to learn to wait on God to fulfill his promises that he's made. So what does that mean for us today? It means that if God gives us a promise, if God shows you the promises of his word, if you're praying, for instance, maybe for a lost child, or you're standing in prayer for your marriage, or you're believing for healing, or you're trusting for direction, don't run ahead of God. Don't take shortcuts, but don't quit. The waiting may be long, but the fulfillment will be worth it. Learn this truth if you don't get anything else from this tonight. Sometimes the greatest miracle is not what God does for you, but what God does in you while you wait. Sometimes that's the greatest miracle. Not what he does for you, but what he does in you while you wait. She waited 25 years, and when the promise came, God turned her doubt into joy. And he'll do the same for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the example of Sarah. Lord, that just like us, there's no whitewashing over who she was and what she did. She did struggle. She was a woman who doubted. She failed. And yet, every time she did, she rose up again in faith and trusted your word. Lord, I pray that we ourselves, when we fail in life, and we will, that, Lord, we'll get back up and we'll go back to you and we'll repent of our sin and we'll rise again in faith and trust your word. Lord, help us to wait on you with the same perseverance that she and Abraham had. Lord, strengthen us when we grow impatient. Lord, remind us of your faithfulness when the doubts begin to creep in, and they will. Lord, teach us to consider you faithful because you have promised. And Lord, let your timing, not ours, shape our lives. That requires us waiting, Lord, waiting on you. And when you bring the fulfillment, Lord, turn our doubts into joy, just like you did for Sarah. And we trust you, Lord, and we love you, and we rest in your promises today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ. I encourage you to come. If you're there online, I encourage you to comment there, and we'll be glad to follow up with you to talk some more about accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you need to come and pray. Whatever the Lord is laying on your heart to do, would you come as we sing our hymn of invitation, Brother Mike? Well, thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for being here in person. For those of you who were there with us online, look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. We'll be back in the book of Jeremiah. Don't forget Awana will be on Wednesday night also. And those who can come for primetimers, don't forget about that also. Don't forget your gifts for that. But we're going to have a wonderful time Wednesday evening, 5:25 for our council time in here with Awana. So come and join us 6 o'clock for the service. If you can't be here in person, join us there online. We look forward to seeing you. Have a blessed week, a safe week. We'll see you this coming Wednesday.